Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision-making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered, and in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of our readers. And the question last week was, I have lost my 62-year-old husband last year in intensive care after cardiac arrest. The intensive care team withdrew treatment against my will. Could he have been saved? You can check out the answer to last week's question by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer another question from one of our readers. And the question this week is, my mother went into cardiac arrest after a heart attack. She's been in intensive care for 1 week, has brain damage, and is not waking up. What should we do? This question from Malik formed part of an email counseling and consulting session with me. So, Malik writes, Hi Patrick, my 79-year-old mother had a heart attack 7 days ago. She went into hospital and there went into cardiac arrest. It took 18 minutes for the doctors and the nurses to bring her back and resuscitate her. She has been in the ICU for 1 week now and they say she can't breathe without the ventilator because she has heavy damage in her brain. This brain damage has been confirmed after an MRI of the brain and an EEG testing. Heavy brain damage means that she's not responding to anything. Her pupils are dilated and they're not responding to light at all. She can't breathe without the ventilator. Her heart rate and all the other vital signs are normal, but the doctors say that there is no hope after seeing the MRI report. They have taken off all the sedation now and she's not responding. Because of that, they don't want to do a tracheostomy and they're now referring to a one-way extubation. The intensive care team has been a bit vague about what this all means and we are very confused as to where my mum is really at. We understand that the brain damage is significant, but we are unsure if we are making all the right decisions. Can you please explain what they mean and what do you suggest we should be doing? Many thanks from Malik. Hi Malik, thank you for making contact and thank you for your question. Thank you also for signing up for my one-on-one email counseling and consulting service. First of all, I'm very sorry to hear what you and your family are going through. This is a difficult time in your life and my thoughts are with you and your family. From a bigger picture perspective, your mother had a heart attack and then went into cardiac arrest. She had to be resuscitated and it took 18 minutes for your mother to be revived and get her heart to beat again. During this time, there is a very high chance that the brain sustained irreversible brain damage due to the lack of cardiac output. And cardiac output basically means the heart is pumping. And also the lack of oxygenated blood being delivered to the brain. Whenever critically ill patients go into cardiac arrest, it's a race against the clock because anything above 3 minutes with no meaningful cardiac output and no blood pumping around the body, the biggest risk is that vital organs such as the brain, the kidneys, the liver and the lungs are not getting adequate supply with oxygenated blood and therefore are getting irreversibly damaged. What often does happen in cardiac arrest and during cardiopulmonary resuscitation is that cardiac output, which again is the heart pumping, will be restored in a time frame that is more than 3 minutes, and therefore the risk for significant damage in the major organs such as the brain, the kidneys, the liver and the lungs can't be eliminated. Prior to the cardiac arrest, please keep in mind that your mother also sustained a heart attack. Given that she went into cardiac arrest relatively quickly after the heart attack, there is a big chance that the heart attack caused so much damage that a cardiac arrest was inevitable. Therefore, the odds were stacked against your mother from the start. 18 minutes downtime, or 18 minutes of cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and then having brain damage that has been evidenced by the MRI of the brain and the EEG, sounds to me like the intensive care team has done all of their due diligence to give you the right diagnosis and prognosis. Given that an EEG has also been done, it's also a good sign that they've looked at this situation from more than one angle. An EEG also requires the involvement of a neurologist and therefore outside input. That's a good sign from my perspective that they're willing to consult other doctors as well. Given that your mother is not on any sedation anymore, she should also wake up after the induced coma. Now that the sedation is no longer there, the coma is not induced any longer. It's more like a natural coma because of the irreversible brain damage. Given that's the case, the chances are that the irreversible brain damage is causing your mother not being reactive to anything, including stimuli. Furthermore, the non-reactive pupils are a pretty good sign that irreversible brain damage has been sustained as well. Again, from that perspective, it does make sense that the intensive care team is not suggesting a tracheostomy and rather let nature take its course. Furthermore, even though you haven't mentioned it, your mother is most likely on inotropes such as adrenaline, noradrenaline, dobutamine, and or milrinol. Those inotropes are drugs of choice. Those inotropes are drugs of choice for life-sustaining treatment after cardiac arrest and or a heart attack. Therefore, when the intensive care team is referring to withdraw life support, they're not only referring to a one-way extubation, and again, extubation means the removal of the breathing tube, but they're also referring to the withdrawal of the inotropes that I just mentioned. Inotropes, generally speaking, increase blood pressure and strengthen the contractility of the heart muscles. It therefore also suggests to me that you, your family, and your mother are facing a real end-of-life situation. I have written a blog about real and perceived end-of-life situations in the past that you may want to check out. So check out the difference between real and perceived end-of-life situations when your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Going back to you. Therefore, it's now important for you to make sure that you and your family can prepare for your mother approaching her end-of-life in intensive care. It's very important that you and your family can make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence during this once-in-a-lifetime situation that you can't really or don't want really to get wrong. What do I mean by that? By that, I mean that you and your family don't want to be rushed into the withdrawal of life support and the withdrawal of treatment. On the one hand, it's very important that your mother is comfortable, pain-free, and is not suffering. You haven't mentioned that, so I assume that's not the case, which is great, because now it's easier for you to determine the next steps. A one-way extubation means that the removal of the breathing tube is only done once, and therefore chances are that your mother may pass away relatively quickly after the removal of the breathing tube, which again is called extubation. Passing away after the removal of life support and the removal of the breathing tube can happen within minutes, hours, and sometimes even days, even in the most critically ill patients who are approaching their end of life. Given that your mother had a cardiac arrest after a heart attack and sustained irreversible brain damage, chances are high that she's going to pass away quickly after the removal of life support. Again, in your mother's situation, the removal of life support means removal of the breathing tube and the ventilator, as well as the removal of the inotropes. That's why it's so important to make sure that your mother is comfortable when taken off life support so that she's not suffering. You can prepare for that to happen in the next few days, but you and your family need to be ready for that, and you want to make sure that you and the rest of your family had enough time to say goodbye to your mother. There is a very high chance that the intensive care team wants to remove the breathing tube quickly and let nature take its course, because they are in need of the intensive care bed and the other resources, staff and equipment that go along with it. Please don't let anybody pressure you to take the breathing tube out when it's convenient for them, but do so in a time frame that you and your family feel comfortable with. I have seen many end-of-life situations where the intensive care team pressures family in intensive care to remove life support as quickly as possible because it's convenient for the intensive care team, often because they have such high pressure on their in-demand intensive care beds. Therefore, you and your family need to make sure that your and your mother's spiritual, religious, cultural, or any other needs that are important to you and your family are met. If an end-of-life situation in intensive care is rushed or even hastened, it can leave many families bitter and resentful, and that's why it's so important that you and your family have a say about how and when you want to proceed with the removal of life support. What often happens preceding those events is that the intensive care team is calling for a formal family meeting, where the intensive care team is using all of their perceived power and their perceived authority to get what they want. Therefore, you and your family need to be prepared for any formal meetings that you're going to have with the intensive care team. On the one hand, you don't want to let your mother suffer unnecessarily, and you don't want to prolong life unnecessarily when nature is about to take its course. However, you and your family also want to have enough time to come to terms with the inevitable. Therefore, after you and your family had enough time to come to terms with this situation, after all your cultural, spiritual, religious or any other needs have been fulfilled, and also making sure your mother isn't suffering in the process. If she's suffering, the intensive care team can give sedative drugs and painkillers again, but if she's not suffering, you and the intensive care team can go ahead and remove life support after you've agreed. It's so important that death and end of life in intensive care and the decision making around it is in a cooperative and amicable environment, as you and your family don't want to feel like you have made the wrong decisions. I really hope this helps, Malik. Please let me know if there's anything else I can help you with. I wish you and your family all the very best. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one, make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power and influence when you download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free Instant Impact Report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You'll get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You'll get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again in another update next week. Make sure you also check out our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Or you can call me, find international phone numbers on our contacts tab. Also check out our ebook section where you get more ebooks, videos and audio recordings, and where you can also get one-on-one counseling and consulting with me via Skype, over the phone or via email by clicking on the products tab. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.